this year, I started on a three-year journey with other pastors in Indiana, and it's entitled Nehemiah. It's training and support for my vocational pastor as well as some full-time pastors as well. But Nehemiah, as we know in the Old Testament, was an agent of change at the end of the Babylonian exile. He was able to work it out so that the Jewish people could go home and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And certainly, as we think about change, the pandemic that we've been dealing with since March, even as a church body, but we've been dealing with it as a world, it's brought change upon us, unprecedented change, and sometimes daily change. And every aspect of our lives is affected. The pandemic is mostly seen as something negative, but a positive I see it has caused many to evaluate their priorities. At our first statewide Nehemiah meeting back in March, Dan Cash, he's the pastor at First Baptist of Columbus, he made a presentation to us, to the ones that were there. And I knew Dan back when he served on the American Baptist Indiana Kentucky Board, when I served on that board about 10 years ago, maybe 12 now, time flies by. But he recently co-authored a book entitled The Changing Church, Finding Your Way to God's New Thing. And some of the ideas he shared in March, and as I read his book, it prompted me with some scripture basis and some ideas to explore in a sermon series that I'm starting today entitled, What Change Does. And what change does, it stretches us. It becomes something for us. It restarts things. It intends. It produces things within us. Change can inspire us. Change can amaze us. Change includes us in things. And while God himself is stable, he's foundational, he's a solid rock, he never changes his character, but he expects changes in his people. He expects changes in you and I. He expects changes in his church and in the world. And God's word is what changes things. He says so in Isaiah 55, in verses 8 through 11. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." This particular scripture from Isaiah is an overarching scripture theme for our What Change Does series. For today, our scripture comes from Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 33. And they said to him, and they being Pharisees who had been asking him about some things in the verses previous, but they said to him, and him being Jesus, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." And Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable: "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say, the old is better." When we think about how change stretches us, one word that comes to my mind, especially as I look there at verse 33, is a comparison game. And we see that happening here with the Pharisees as they compare Jesus' disciples and their activity with what they do as Pharisees, and what they've noticed that John the Baptist disciples do as they fast. And I think sometimes when we get into comparing, it can become a comparison game. And there are things to learn and to glean, but do we really need to conform? A lot of us heard as kids is, well, just because your friend has such and such or does such and such, does that mean you need to do it? We need to learn from it, and we don't always have to conform just because someone else is doing something. The other thing is, are we following others, or are we determined to follow the leader? Are we determined to follow God in our context? We have to see what is important to God and His message and act upon that in the context in which we live as Christians and in the context of what we're called to do as our particular body of believers in the church. I know sometimes, it's not a big deal, but sometimes when we go visiting at other places during some of our community services, you hear somebody, well, this is the way we do it here. And that's okay. We don't have to do it all exactly the same. What we do need to do is follow God and His prompting. And as He stretches us into thinking about what it is that He wants and what He wants us to do, it's okay to maybe pull in and see what others are doing and see how that might work for us or not work for us. But certainly we see this happening here in verse 33 as they question Jesus. You don't seem to be in line with what is really going on. And in this case, they're speaking specifically about fasting. Fasting there basically was three things from a biblical standpoint. They would do fasting if they were guilty of something and felt bad about that wrongdoing. They would fast as a repentance. They would fast if they were in a stage of sorrow or remorse. They would do that. But as you think of fasting as a spiritual discipline, it's more along, and I think that's what's happening here with the disciples that the Pharisees are talking about, is that it's a discipline to focus on spiritual matters. And that's really, when we get into the comparison game, we need to be more focused on what it is God wants us to learn from what we see others doing and how that could or could not be applied into our own context as we follow Him. He did not create us to be robots that all do exactly the same thing. He understands more than any of us the context and where we're placed in the witness that He wants us to have. But certainly, change stretches us. It stretches even as we look at what others are doing to glean from that as God teaches us in those matters. But Jesus sort of answers with a challenge there in verses 34 and 35. He basically is asking who or what is important here. And I ask you today, what is more important? The ritual or the presence of God? What is more important? The tradition or the message from God? Spiritual disciplines have their place, but they should never supersede our relationship with God. Because all of those disciplines were intended to enhance our relationship with God. If we get so wrapped up in, I'll just pick on one thing, the discipline of reading the Bible. If we're more intent in making sure we get two chapters read, and we get through those two chapters, and then 10 minutes later we have no idea what we even read, did we really enhance the relationship with God? Oh yeah, we did the discipline, but did we enhance the relationship? The discipline is supposed to enhance the relationship. Did God speak to us during those two chapters we read? Or did we only finish one because God, knocked us aside the head with something that we read in that chapter we were reading? That's the difference. The spiritual discipline needs to be there, yes. But it's there to enhance our relationship with God. And that's what Jesus was challenging as He responded to the Pharisees in our scripture today. He's also putting a little more information in there too. They had the bridegroom with them. Why should the wedding party be out fasting when the bridegroom is here? The groom is in their presence. It's not a time for fasting. And he even says here in these verses, there is a time for that, and they'll be doing that. But right now, they need to be in the presence of God. The presence of God, the message of God, the relationship with God is more important than those rituals and traditions that we think should drive all of our actions. And certainly those things are good for us, but if they're not enhancing our relationship with God, there really may be something, as Jesus is challenging here, that we need to rethink. We need to stretch our idea about that, as Jesus challenges us in our scripture today. The other thing I see in verses 36 and 38 is he speaks about garments where new and old, they may not match up. Where wineskins, if you put in new wine into an old wineskin that has already had fermented wine put into it, the new wine, when it comes into those old wineskins and it begins to ferment, it begins to expand, and the old wineskins have already gone through that process once before, and they're unable to contain the new wine, and it explodes, so to speak, or definitely a big old leak. It just doesn't work out. And so Jesus, I think, is sharing with us through this parable that we need to think about compatibility. We need to think, how does all this mesh together? You know, even on the garments, back when I was a kid, if we got a hole in the knee of our jeans, then Mom would do some kind of patch, and that thing was scratchy and stiff until you broke it in. You know, your jeans were already broken, and then you had that new thing that was sort of in the way. Now, nowadays, having a rip in the knee is fashionable, but it wasn't back when I was a kid. But I never liked those patches because they just rub on my knees. But that new versus old, and sometimes we can think of that today, and it's not I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but we have contemporary versus traditional versus blended versus generational. You hear all these words thrown out. But how are we compatible with what we are seeing as new versus what we hold up as already here, which in this scripture context is old? We're not talking about age, we're just talking about new versus old, the comparison to those two things. But if we think about it in the lessons of stretching, how does what God is teaching us fit in with what we're doing? Perhaps it's a modification to what we're doing. But other times we have to replace rather than modify. Car manufacturers have been doing this for a long time. You know, between model years, there's always some little subtle difference in most cases. Some car manufacturers, it's the same car for a number of years. But most, at least, and I think of American manufacturers, in my lifetime anyway, there'll be a slight change between each year's model. Nothing big, but it'll be a little different. Maybe something new they added, or they tweaked a particular design of it, or maybe there's a mechanical enhancement. All these different things. But every so often, they'll come out with this nameplate that you've heard, and they'll say, it's rebuilt from the ground up. They just started over. You almost hear Jesus saying that in our scripture today, but in context of rest of scripture, I don't think he's saying throw it all out. You just need to be careful about the compatibility of new and old. There's things you have to watch out for, and you have to be careful about that. And this can be challenging for us as we change to maintain relationships. I think of communication methods, you know, just the simple texting versus calling. And we have these challenges before us. It's a challenge here, even at Sparta, and it's been sort of enhanced since we've had this pandemic upon us. But there's different methods to communicate. We have phone landlines. We have cellular phones. There's email. There's texting, Facebook messaging, physical visits. And we each have a preference. But it's not the device that's the goal. You know, in most cases, if there's something to talk about at length, I prefer a phone call or in-person visit. If it's just a quick thing you need to send me and you need to get my attention, texting is what works. If it's just something you want me to know, email works. There's all these different things, and it's a challenge sometimes to know which way to communicate. But communication is the goal, not the device we use. And so we try to integrate and make sure we're doing the communication. And all too often, we get hung up on the device rather than what it is we're trying to communicate. And I think that happens in the church sometimes. And it happens in our Christian life sometimes. We're more hung up on how we're going to do it versus communicating and just being that witness as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, who we talked about over the last 7 weeks. Communication, in this case, is the goal, not the device we use. And to transition that into the thought of sharing the gospel message, it's sharing that message in our lives and in our actions, in our words. That's the goal. Not necessarily hang on to the old devices and the ways that that message is shared. We have to think about, as change stretches us, how we make the new and the old compatible. How does that work? How do we pull that together? And God's Spirit can guide us in that and lead us in that as we look at the change that is stretching us beyond our comfort zones in many cases. I think in our final verse, Jesus has a word of warning. You know, when you think of a rubber band, you stretch out a rubber band. If once you take the stretch away, the rubber band goes back, right? It goes back to its original shape most of the time. Stretch it far enough, it breaks. But most of them will return right back to their original shape. I suppose if you did it 1,000 times, it might start stretching just a little bit. But typically, that's not its nature. And we need to understand that in a way, you and I are like those rubber bands. And all too often, we react that way. We feel the stretching happening. We feel the Holy Spirit stretching us. We feel that change that we're being asked to do. And we start in a certain way, but then when we don't feel that pressure, we're like the rubber band, we go back to what we were. We need to be careful to avoid falling back into those old ways when God has led us or pointed us in a particular direction. It takes discernment. It takes understanding and relying on God's Spirit to guide us and direct us in that particular way, and to know that it is Him that's leading us in that way. But when we, you know, get started, we've got to be careful and not be like that rubber band and pull ourselves back. Things do change as we move forward with God. Things change and stretch us as we move forward in life. But as we think about our relationship with God, it's there. And we need to be cognizant of that. We need to also understand that we adapt and change at different rates. Some, when change comes in, let's do it now. Let's get it done. Some hesitate. Some are apprehensive. Some resist. Some hold out to the very end. Now most, if you think of a bell curve, that's what you'll see most change experts talk about. There's a big bell curve, and statistical people love to throw out bell curves. Most people are found in that hesitation or apprehension area. And change eventually happens. I believe Jesus' words in this final verse of our scripture text today is a warning to us to not be complacent, to not concede, to not go back to what we were, as good as it might have been. And it served the purpose at the time. You know, most of what we've learned in our lives, God is using for our good as we continue to move forward, but He's stretching us to continue to change, to enhance that relationship with Him, to move forward with Him. And that does stretch us. As we think of this warning from Jesus in this verse, that it's just a warning to not go back, not to take steps back, but to continue to take steps forward. When the new, whatever that new is, whatever this change is, when that comes from God, we need to allow the stretching to prepare us, to get us ready. Like an athlete and their muscles, when we stretch those muscles to be ready for whatever it is the activity is. And you don't have to be an athlete. When I was going through my cardio therapy after my stents were put in, they made us go over and spend 10 minutes, and there were certain stretches we had to do for our legs and for our backs and things before we got on the exercise equipment. I was one of the youngest people there at that particular time. But they talked about stretching, and then even afterwards, doing a cool down stretching. So stretching is good. It prepares us. And so as we think of God using change to stretch us, we need not be complacent about it, as I believe Jesus warns here. I like the way the NLT translation phrases these warning words of Jesus. It says in Luke 5:39 there in the NLT translation, "But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say." We do get complacent, and we're fine where we're at, but I'm not so sure God is fine where we're at. He wants to stretch us. He does want us to change and move forward in our relationship with Him. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Or are you committed to some person, spiritual leader of somewhere, whether it be, I hope it's not me. Are we committed to a tradition? Are we committed to an idea? Or are we committed to some personal preference over saying that we're a disciple of Jesus? Commitment for us is saying Jesus gets that priority. If it's a change that Jesus wants, it's something we need to allow ourselves to be stretched on. Do you allow God to stretch you? Do we as His church allow Him to stretch us? Let God's word change you. As Isaiah said, His word will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it.